But what was different about the lid of the ark that had the mercy seat and the box that was made out of wood and overlaid with gold? Anybody remember? There's a hint there, that which comes down from above. Remember, the lid was solid gold, okay? And the mercy seat was solid gold. It's mercy that comes down from above. Your salvation was God's idea. Amen? God had a right to kill every man that's ever walked, because Paul said, we've all sinned and fell short of the glory of God. Amen? But he didn't. His mercy comes down from above. Amen? So we're going to continue today with that mercy seat, but I want you to turn to Psalms 18. Psalms 18, verse 1. Page 96, if you got a Bible like mine. Hallelujah. I had this setting out for you, Amy. I thought she was coming a couple weeks ago. I know I didn't have to, but I wanted to. I know. I'm not going to get an easy time tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. I know. No, that don't work on her. She has too many peers around watching, you know. She can't cut me any slack. So, Psalm 18, verse 1. God's word says, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Verse 2 says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. I'm going to show you in a minute here how wings in the biblical text were always tied to trust. Okay? I'm going to show you that in a minute here. The Hebrew word for trust here is this word, batak. It means to cling to. Okay? There's another word that is derived from batak, is avitak, and it's the word for melon, right? How in the world do we get melon out of a root word batak? It means to trust. Well, it's easy. This word trust means to cling to. So you got this big melon, but how's that melon get big? It's clinging to a vine, right? So that melon grows and gets big. See, now a lot of times in our life, we have a problem. Like when you go in and you're facing, you know, you go in on Thursday night and you've got some things you got to get done and you're the mayor and you're facing a tough city council. Okay? Sometimes you can get overwhelmed because the problem looks like it's getting as big as the melon. But just remember, you're clinging to the vine. Amen. And Jesus said, I am the true vine. Amen. Trust in him. Yes. Glory to God. Now, jump over, if you would, to Psalms 56. Psalms 56. Psalms 56. And let's start in verse 1. Page 730, you got a Bible like mine. My sermon, Charles David. Psalms 56. Not Isaiah. Psalms. Psalm 56, verse 1. Be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up. Fighting all day, he oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day, for there are many who fight against me, O Most High. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? There's about four Hebrew words that get translated as trust, but talking this one, hasah, means to trust or to lean on someone or something. You know, when your enemies are coming in like a flood, okay, let me do it another way. We don't fight a lot of physical battles here, you know, those kind of enemies as citizens of Ironton and the United States of America. But you know what? We have some other enemies, right, that weigh us down. You know, sometimes does it seem like the bills are coming in like a flood? Just thought I'd throw that in there, huh? Remember, you're trusting in God. You can lean on Him. Amen. I'm a believer in the tithe. I mean, the Word of God, Malachi says, you bring all the tithe into the storehouse, I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing so much as you cannot contain it. And he goes on to say, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. I'll never forget when Pastor David Webb, a really good friend of mine, his wife Judy called me, and she was in a panic. He had had a heart attack, and they were taking him down to Lexington, Kentucky. Okay? And she called me and she said, I need a scripture to stand on. I need a scripture to stand on. And I'm like, and the only thing that came to my mind, I said, because I knew him. I said, Judy, you and Pastor David, you're faithful tithers, right? Yeah. I said, well, let's stand on Malachi where God says, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. Amen. Amen. And so we stood on that scripture. That's probably been 15 or 20 years ago. Okay. And he's still preaching the gospel. Amen. So my point is this. Our trust has to be in Him. He is the vine. He's the one we lean on. Amen. Now, are anybody here, are you good at solving your own problems? Huh? Well, if you're not good at it, why do you keep trying to do it then? Huh? If you're not very good at it, why keep doing it? I'm talking to me now too. I'm really good at trying to do it myself. Okay? And sometimes that gets us in trouble. The first youth camp we did for E4N, I mean, that's had to be almost 20 years ago now. You know, and I've took a bunch of calls yesterday about youth camp this year. I'm 62 years old, still doing youth camp. I guess God's got a sense of humor. I don't know, you know. So anyway, and I usually try to drag as many of my family into it as I can, and church members, because it's a lot of work, okay? I don't even know what I was saying there. Let's keep going. I forgot. Go to Exodus 25. It'll come back to me. Exodus 25. Oh, I know what I was going to say. No, it ain't too late. It's my sermon. That first youth camp I did, I only had about a half a dozen adults. And nobody had ever been to one of our camps before. And you talk about having to do it yourself. I didn't have any fun that week. Well, I did have one little bit of fun when I got my nephew and the grass was behind the pool was kind of high. And I seen these two girls crawling on their belly towards the guy's cabin. And so me and my nephew, we got on our bellies and we started crawling next to the fence right beside him. I'll tell you what, in the dark, when them two girls ran into us, I don't know if they wet themselves, but I'm pretty sure they missed a good chance. They screamed and ran. I did have that much fun. But you can't keep doing things on your own and be successful. Not only be successful, but have the peace of God that passes all understanding. You need to lean on Him, cling to Him. Here we are in Exodus 25, verse 17, page 108. You shall make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2.5 cubits shall be its length, and 1.5 cubits its width. And you shall make 2 cherubim of gold of hammered work. You shall make them at the 2 ends of the mercy seat. Make 1 cherub at the one end and the other cherub at the other end. You shall make the cherubim at the 2 ends of it of one piece with the mercy seat. And the cherubim shall stretch out their wings above, covering the mercy seat with their wings. They shall face one another. The faces of the cherubim shall be toward the mercy seat. So their wings actually form the mercy seat. Amen. Now, let's go back to Psalms again. I said I was going to tie in wings, and I won't take long today, or maybe I will. It's not my plan. Psalms 36. Let's go back there, page 714, verse 5. Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the great mountains. Your judgments are a great deep. O Lord, you preserve man and beast. How precious is your loving kindness, O Lord. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. So when you think about wings, when you see the word wings in the biblical text, think of trust under the shadow of his wings. Let me read that again. Therefore, or verse 7 says, how precious is your loving kindness, O God. You know, every now and then you need to remind yourself that the God you serve is a God of mercy and loving kindness. Amen. So the psalmist says, how precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. The reason they put their trust in God is because they understand that God is a God of loving kindness and mercy. I grew up thinking, even though I was in church every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Sunday night as a youth, I grew up thinking that God was just waiting for me to mess up so he could whack-a-mole me. You know, you had the same thing, right? It wasn't until I realized that God loved me, that God was merciful to me, that God wanted a relationship with me, that he didn't just want me born again, standing on Jordan's stormy banks, hanging on, waiting for the promised land, but that God wanted to dwell in me, that God wanted to love me, and that I could love God, that I could have God involved in every area of my life, my children, my marriage, my finances. It wasn't until I realized that I was able to really walk with God. Because when you think that God's just waiting to whack you, you have this oddball fear of God. I don't want to go to hell. Anybody ever experienced that? I don't want to go to hell. But you know what? Hell was always pulling me that way. As a teenager on Friday and Saturday night, hell was always pulling me that way. But then when I go to church, I'd be so guilty. I had to go to the altar. One thing they told me at the church I grew up in, you know, I won't tell you what it is, but it was on the corner of 4th and Vine, 4th and Pleasant, 4th and Pleasant. And then when we moved to Marietta, we went to the same kind of church, and I love my church upbringing. Don't get me wrong. I wouldn't trade it for anything. Okay, they taught me two things. You can't blame the devil for what your flesh does, and you need to tithe, boy. Okay, I learned, and those are important. But I didn't learn how to have a relationship with God, and I don't know if you can know that until God fills you with His Spirit. Remember what Paul says in Galatians? Paul said in the Galatians that you now have the Spirit of the Son dwelling in you, whereby you can cry out, Abba, Father. It's the Spirit of adoption. Glory to God. Let me keep going. I'm just getting sidetracked. I got to get over here, back over here. See, I missed last week, so I got a whole bunch in me, you know. But anyway, let me. I'm trying to show you wings and trust go together. So let's go to the right to Psalms 61. Psalm 61. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When I see that grave, I'll see Jesus. Hallelujah. Psalm 61, page 732, verse 1. Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That's a prayer we ought to remember. When's the last time you felt overwhelmed? It ain't been that long ago for me. My plate's plenty full. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. Wow. Now we're going to come back to Psalm, so you might want to keep your finger there. But you want to go to page 354. Now, I'm telling you, you're going to need that page because Ruth is a hard book to find. She's right behind Judges. Yeah, Judges. Chapter 2 of Ruth, and we will come back to the Psalms here. See if we can get finished up. Now, y'all know the story of Ruth, right? Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, and her husband and two sons, they left Israel because of a famine, sold their land. They go back, or they go to Moab, and both sons marry Moabite women. And the one daughter, Orpah, when the father dies and the two sons die, Orpah goes back to her people, but Naomi clings to Ruth clings to Naomi and goes back to Israel with her mother-in-law. And let's pick it up here in verse 4. Now, Naomi has instructed her to go glean. You know what gleaning was, right? The when you harvest your land, you left some behind so that the poor could go glean and they would clean it up. All right? And here in verse 4, Naomi was pretty sharp. She didn't send her just to anybody's field. She sent her to Boaz's field. Okay? We won't get into that. Now behold, verse 4, chapter 2, verse 4. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his servant, who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" See, I told you Naomi was sharp, okay? So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, "It is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. And she said, 'Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves.' So she came and has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little in the house." Then Boaz said to Ruth, "You will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn." So she fell on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" And Boaz answered and said to her, "It has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother in the land of your birth, and have come to a people whom you did not know before. The Lord repay your work, and the full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." Can I tell you two things about Ruth? Ruth loved Naomi, no doubt about it. Not a lot of daughter-in-laws want to go anywhere, even across the street with her mother-in-law. Okay? So she must have loved Naomi, but I'm going to tell you something else about Ruth. Ruth must have loved the God that Naomi served. Amen. I don't think she was putting her trust and her faith in Naomi. She was also putting her trust and her faith in God. And God rewarded her. Let's read this again. "The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." All right. With that backdrop, go to Psalms 91. Psalms 91. verse 1. 757, you got a Bible like mine. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Most High is the Hebrew name for God, El Elyon. Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Almighty comes from the word El Shaddai. Okay, and it's translated Almighty in the English. He says in verse 2, I will say to Yahweh, or the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. Now the word for feathers here is this word, Ibra, means feathers. But about 95% of the time, it's usually referring to dove's feathers. Okay? In Hebrew, Hebrew has no words that are gender neuter, is what they say, or I would rather say neutral. They have no words that aren't feminine or masculine, okay? So when we see this word wings, and we know it's tied to doves, you need to know something about doves. When you're talking about letting God cover you with His wings or His feathers, doves, both male and female dove, and I had to look this up, okay? So you feel free to look it up yourself. I'm not a dove expert. Okay, I'm pretty good at fried chicken, but I'm definitely not, or chicken and dumplings, or baked, okay, anyway. With a dove, a pair of doves, a male and a female, both male and female set on the eggs. They take turns setting on the eggs. They take turns covering the chicks. One will go out and eat, and the other will cover the chicks, both male and female. Okay, so here's my point. With the male, we think of the man of the house, right? Or a husband. He's to be a provider, a protector, the one who disciplines. Although when I was growing up, you know, while Dad disciplined us on occasion, Mom thought it was her job to wear us out every day. Okay? There was no escaping the wrath of Mom. The bigger you got, I mean, it got to the point one time. Have you ever had your hair washed in Murphy's oil soap? She was scrubbing the baseboard. I've never seen anybody clean like my mother and my Aunt Diane. They clean the clean spots. Okay, I guess that's the way it's brought up. So anyway, I mouthed off to her, right? I mouthed off to her, and she said, I'm going to put this soapy water on your head if you don't shut up. And I mouthed off again, and I got it. It don't come out very easy. It makes your hair feel like a horse's tail. Okay? As we got bigger, she'd throw shoes at us. I mean, I'm telling you. You've done that? You've thrown the shoes?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. I've never thrown a shoe.
And I didn't miss my mark.
Oh, okay. All right, let me get back. See, you guys always sidetracking me. They always get me going down. Okay. The male or the husband was a provider, a protector, and one of discipline. While the mother is always seen as one who nurtures, nourishes, okay, the one who's more merciful. Well, when it comes to God, God has the attributes of both male and female. He has the attributes of both husband and wife, or father and mother. So when you're under the wings or under the feathers of God Almighty, He is your protector. He is your provider. Amen. He will discipline you if you can stand it. Okay? And you can. He'll never put you to the test more than you can handle, the Bible says. But He's also merciful. He's also a nurturer. He's also nourishing us, loving us. Amen? So I want to read you what a couple of rabbis said, and I'm going to close. Rabbi Samson Hirsch relates Ibrah, this word here, or the idea of covering and concealing or hiding away, creating the connection to verse 1 in the secret place. So down here in verse 4, when he says he'll cover you with his feathers and under his wings, you shall take refuge, Rabbi Hirsch says that's the secret place of El Elyon. That's the place you're protected. That's the place you're hidden away. Amen. I can honestly tell you, there have been times in my life, I pastored, the first church I pastored, they had a mortgage. They had a mortgage that was $3,500 a month. Praise God for our $900 mortgage. And it's a whole lot. All I got done was believing in the mortgage payment. And sometimes, and it heat, they heated with propane. And, or no, not propane, electric. They heated with electric. We ended up getting on propane, which is, while it's more expensive than natural gas, it's still cheaper than electric. They had these two ginormous electric furnaces that would kick on. Every time they kicked on, you better believe it's going to be $1,500 to $1,800 a month. Like, wow. So there's always a lot of pressure on that job. Just the pressure from trying to breathe into finances. Because you got to remember, the first Sunday I was there, there was 17 people. And four of them came with me. Me, Debbie, and two boys. Okay? So, I knew God wanted me there. And he didn't want me there for the people. He was teaching me. Okay? And we get close to 100, slide back to 70. Close to 100, slide back to 70. So as I trusted God and believed God, at times I was overwhelmed. And I'd go in my office and I'd sit there and I'd say, Daddy, I need to sit on your lap. And the peace of God that passes all understanding would come upon me. And I truly believe it was at those moments that God was bringing me under his wings. Amen. Because you know what? Let me tell you about church people. Yeah, I know you know all about church people. Church people don't care what the pastor's gone through. They could, I won't say that. They just, they're only consumed with what they're going through at the moment. Okay? Now don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you the truth. Okay? And I was back here one day and I'm having a hard time. And this one dear soul, bless her heart, if the pastor wouldn't lay hands and pray on her at least six times a week, she just wasn't gonna make it, you know. And she come knocking on my door, and I opened the door, you know, and I went out in the foyer with her. I wouldn't let her in my office, but I went out in the foyer with her, sat down with her. She said, "But you look sad." I said, "Don't let that bother you. I'm going to pray for you, honey. It'll be all right. It'll all be all right." It wasn't me that made you sad. Oh, no, no. It wasn't you that made me sad. Honest, it wasn't you that made me sad. You know, anytime I can pray with somebody, it always uplifts me. Amen. But have you ever been like that? When things just seem to overwhelm you? If you'll take the time. Take the time to put off the worry, put off the fret, and say, you know what? I need to trust God. Ask him, can I sit on your lap? Can I sit here under the shadow of your wings? Amen? That's where your provision is. That's where your protection is. That's where, like Rabbi Hirsch says, that's the secret place. The secret place. What I need a secret place? Because you need a secret place that can wall off all the junk that's going on in your life. You hear me? I guess I'm the only one coming clean this morning. Huh? Sometimes we need that secret place. I think I have one more. One more comment from Rabbi Hirsch, and we'll close with this. so you can see that ark, the lid of that ark. I got something out of my eye. There we go. Rabbi Hirsch, talking about this word, Ibrah. There's a word that stems from this root. I should have put it up here. It's called, it is Bara. Now pay attention to this. Okay? This comes from this root, which means feathers, while this means to cleanse and purify. Stay with me. Don't lose me, okay? Rabbi Hirsch, talking about this related word bara, meaning to cleanse and purify, he said this poetically relates to verse 2, God being your refuge, which also means, this word also can mean, it means cleanse or purify, and it can mean atone. Let's think about this for a minute. The wings of the lid of the ark were the mercy seat. You with me? And it's on that mercy seat that once a year the high priest would come in and sprinkle the blood of bulls and goats on those wings, right? For what? The atonement of Israel's sins. Now, I got to go back a couple weeks, okay, and remind you of something. Let me see how good students you guys are. I'll stay on this side of the room because I know most of them are here, okay? And they pride themselves in reading the Bible. They pride themselves in beating me to the text. When I say a text, they want to get there first. You know. So remember what I said was quoted 134 times in the text? What was it? In what? In Christ. 134 times in the biblical text, Paul uses the term in him or in Christ, in Jesus, amen? Jesus comes along in John 15, that's good, John 15. Listen, a teacher's only as good as the students, okay? The teacher is measured by what the student does with what he's taught. So Paul says in him, Jesus says in John 15, abide in me. Amen? Mm-hmm. Now Jesus is the ark, right? Remember, the first week we talked about Noah's ark. And what was the second ark in the biblical text, students? Moses' basket was an ark. And that ark was a place of protection. Amen? Right? So spiritually, when the Apostle Paul says you're in him, or Jesus said abide in me, when you're born again, you're in the ark, which is Christ. Amen? That box, that golden wood box, is a picture, a shadow of Messiah, of Jesus. And once you're born again, spiritually, you're in that box. You're in that ark. Amen? And the lid of that ark, listen to me, the lid of that ark, that mercy seat, where the blood of atonement was placed, you're in the ark under the mercy of God. When you're under the shadow of his wings, you are under the mercy of God. Amen? That's why Rabbi Hirsch connected it to this other word, to cleanse and purify. Because now that I'm in Jesus, I'm under those wings. And it's those wings where that blood of atonement was shed. And that's just a picture of what happens to us spiritually in Messiah Jesus. Amen? That's why I get excited about Jesus. Let me tell you something. I've been to churches where they sing and they talk about the Bible, but I can tell, you can tell, can't you, Bernie? There's nobody there has a relationship with God. They're there. They might even be tithers, faithful givers, but they don't get excited about God. See, I started out talking about how you guys get excited about the Harden Tigers. If you can get excited about the Iron Tigers, surely we can get excited about the one who died for us. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You're in the ark under the wings, the shadow of the Almighty. See that text there in Psalms 91 when it says you're in the secret place of El Yon, the Most High, in the shadow of the Almighty. That's actually El Shaddai. And the word Shad, the ancient Hebrew letter Shad, actually, the picture was the teats of a goat. So the idea of being in the shadow or in the secret place of the Most High, in the shadow of El Shaddai, it was like a child nursing from its mother. Whew. My God, my King. Amen. I love to study the ancient Hebrew. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Straight up, I don't want you to forget it. You really? You ready? Yeah, I don't know what to, I don't know what to, this what you guys eat for breakfast today? I have my protein shake. That's it. But you guys must add something else. You must add some sugar. How many cookies you all eat? Wednesday night, I'm getting ready to serve communion. So be nice. Wednesday night, Jackie's teaching. Okay, all right. And you know what, Jackie? You can't just teach one time. Why don't you teach next week in the whole month of February on Wednesday nights?
I will.
You need to do it in a series, okay? All right, I'm looking forward to it. All right, one other announcement real quick. The classes that we're going to start on the 29th are Bishop Brad. I got to have him down here. I don't think any of you know him. Yeah, you do. He comes and eats in your kitchen. You give him special stuff when he's there. He don't do any work, and you give him special stuff. Camp. Rest of us do all the work. I'm not bitter. Okay. But anyway, he's asked me to back the classes up to the 12th of February so that more people from E4N can zoom in. Okay. So they'll start February 12th. The first one is a history of Christianity, 101. We'll start with the life, death, ministry of the 12 apostles. I mean, I know that Christianity started in the garden, okay? Because we see atonement or salvation in the garden when God, instead of killing Adam and Eve, he kills an animal, sheds the blood for their sins, covers them. We know it starts there. But for the sake of argument, we're going to start with the apostles. You think about that, 12 men. You're here today, 2,000 years later, because of those 12 men. Amen? And I'm going to tell you something else. They weren't perfect. Okay? So that's one class. The other class is a history of Israel. And in the history of, it's called Israel Now and Then. But in that class, we'll go through all the kings of Israel, you know, the land promises, the 12 tribes and all the kings of Israel, so that you'll have a good understanding. When you read the text, you'll read these names, and you're like, oh, what's going on there? We'll see if we can't connect the dots in that class, in those classes, okay? Amen? Not the 29th, February 12th, Tuesday, 6:30. Each class will be about 50 minutes. Maybe we can get some coffee and whatever, okay? What? Oh, no, you won't. February 12th, I'll call and remind you. What? We need to serve communion. You've got me way off track. You guys are wilder and crazy today, I tell you. Well, you guys been talking all day. I'm going to serve today. Madam Mayor, would you help me? Thank you, dear. Ha 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 ha
move his arm, but he shouldn't be moving right now.
Oh, yeah, that's all right. See, that's how I skip some exercises. Praise his mighty name. Hey boys, how you guys doing? You staying out of trouble? How about your grandma and grandpa? They staying out of trouble? Hallelujah. Oh! I need to look in my mirrors before I back up. I about knocked the mayor down. Hallelujah. Good to have you men today. I've been served. Hallelujah. Father, we love you and we praise you. We magnify you and glorify you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that on the night you were betrayed, you took bread and broke it. You said, "This is my body." We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you were wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon you. By your stripes we are healed. And Lord Jesus, with thanksgiving in our hearts today, in remembrance of you, in remembrance that you are the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, that you are the immerser, baptizer in the Holy Spirit, that you are right now our high priest interceding for us, and that you are our soon coming King. With thanksgiving in our hearts, in remembrance of you, we take and eat of your body. Hallelujah. Hold your cup up. Around here, we hold our cup up. And when I say three, we say L'chaim. What do you say that for? Just to aggravate you? No, not really. We say L'chaim, it means to life. The Bible says that life is in the blood. Amen. One, two, three. L'chaim. Lord, Father, we thank you that life is in the blood, and at Calvary, the Lord Jesus poured out his life that we could be partakers of that life. And not mere partakers, but Jesus, you said we could have that life and have it more abundantly. Talking about our relationship with God, we can have as much of God as we put into that relationship. We also know that this cup represents the fourth cup at a Jewish betrothal ceremony. A fourth cup that the bride-to-be would drink from, and it would be a vow of her fidelity and faithfulness until the bridegroom came to the wedding. So Lord Jesus, as a vow of our fidelity and faithfulness until you come, we drink of your life this morning. Hallelujah. Stand up with me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay, I'll try to get you a bulletin next week, okay? Me and Terry will work on that. Now, one old person said old people have a hard time remembering things, so they need a bulletin, okay? All right, I wasn't the old person that said that, okay? Amen. Y'all blessed this morning? How many of you know that our trust must be in God, and that God wants to bring us under the shadow of his wings? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for your word and what it means to us. Father, I just ask that you bless these, your children, Lord. Bless them spiritually, physically, financially this week, Lord God. Father, I ask that you give us someone that we can share the good news, the gospel to. And bring us back here Wednesday night safe. Anoint Jackie as she teaches your word. And Father, we'll never fail to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah.